This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. I'm your host, The Judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. We have a glorious, almost overwhelming 10-game slate on Wednesday. Fantasy deliciousness almost everywhere. So super exciting slate. This week has been just an awesome week of games. And I think it's going to continue on a Thursday and Friday, just every day. Is a decent sized slate, first of all, and secondly, they're all good games, so it makes for good times, makes for a lot of fun in building lineups, especially if you're going more of the tournament route, which is my kind of specialty. Hopefully, it did well on Tuesday. Tuesday was another pretty fun night. It was six games, but all six games were close, competitive, went down to the wire. We didn't have the monster scores that we had on Monday because a lot of the chalk plays didn't go nuts, but still, it was a fun, interesting night. There was, man, watching the games, just some things that eye-popping things that you would ever imagine could happen. But then again, it's DFS, so every night there's just absurd things happening on the basketball court. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. Before we start the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. As you know, The Judge is very appreciative when you guys do that. Before the season ends, let us get back in the iTunes Power Rankings, back in the, I think they ranked like the top 150 podcasts for like sports and recreation. They use some messed up algorithm. We must overcome that algorithm to get back in the rankings. So one way to do that, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Another way, let us expand the listeners. Let us get more downloads. Currently, we're doing really well. We're getting like over 6,000 downloads a day. Yesterday was even more than that. So let's keep it going. What's an easy way to do that? When I tweet out the link for the show on social media via Twitter, all of you guys just retweet it out. Do an RT instead of a quote-unquote like on Twitter. Give the judge, give your old friend, give him an RT whenever I do tweet out the show. That would help me out a lot as well. Every new listener helps, guys. And when you're doing like a podcast like this and you don't have the backing of, like Bill Simmons or a Tony Kornheiser podcast where they're being paid a fortune by all these sponsors. When you're doing these small podcasts, I really do depend a lot on the listeners. I think of us as like a team. So, I help you, you guys help me. It's a symbiotic relationship. Also, please download the app Draft. When you download it, use the promo code DFBPOD. When you download it, a lot of you don't know where to put in the promo code. That's totally fine. If you do not know, just tweet at me or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com and email me. And when you do tweet at me or email me, let me know your draft username because that's the one thing to get you credit with that promo code. And remember, the promo code is DFBPOD when you download. That way you'll get 100% deposit bonus. And the sponsor will be happy with me. Speaking of draft, we are currently in the midst of a 7-day bracket battle extravaganza. It was 128 slots, $10, which filled up beautifully because you guys are awesome. So Monday was the round of 128. Tuesday was the round of 64. And so I think Wednesday is going to be the round of 32. So hopefully you advanced. If you're in there, let me know. I'd like to know who's still in there, who's competing. Let me know. Cause I mean, sometimes if I can look at the bracket, I just see usernames, but I really don't know who that is. Cause everyone has different usernames on FanDuel, on DraftKings, on Draft, on Twitter. It gets very confusing for the judge. I wish there was a law. If I could use my legal skills, I would pass a law and the law would be everyone has the same username on like all of these sites, on Twitter, on FanDuel, on DraftKings, on any DFS site, which would make things so much easier for all of us. Also, remember, if you do download the app using the promo code, you're automatically entered into the Draft Chambers League. And every day at 6 p.m., there is a draft. If you just go to the My Draft screen on the app, you will see the Judges Chambers come up. And if you're not in that league, let me know, and I will make sure that you get in. I will send you a personal invite. Speaking of Chambers for Tuesday night, as you guys know, Chambers, best tournament in the land of DFS, with the demand reaching 300-400 people a day want in at least, especially on FanDuel. We've had over 650 people play on FanDuel. We've had over 200 people cash on FanDuel. The DraftKings, we just started January 1 of this year. So we're still working on that. We're building that, but that's going well too. Every day we're doing it now at DraftKings Chambers, where we have 50 slots in that. And we're running three FanDuel Chambers with 20 slots a piece. And I'm still hoping at some point, and I believe it will happen, that FanDuel will allow us to get to expand and make it a larger tournament at some point. Although I kind of like having the 20 person field, like it's kind of growing on me. So you guys can let me know what you think regarding that as well. But speaking of Chambers for Tuesday, we had three of them going. Like I said, we had two newbies take them down. Anna Monder and Twisted Gorilla got their first Chambers taste of Chambers glory. So congrats to you guys. And then there was a tie at one of the Chambers. Wood 3334 got his tied for, well, it's still a win. A tie's, you know, feel the same, but it still counts as a win in the power rankings. So Wood 334 got his second win of the year. And MG Fresh, who is just catapulting up the power rankings, got his fifth win. I think like his 12th cash. And when I update the power rankings, he might be ranked on both FanDuel and DraftKings. But on FanDuel, he may be, I think currently he's 9 or 10. He's going to make a pretty nice leap. Again, I'm looking to update the FanDuel power rankings for Friday. We're going to unleash the first installment of the DraftKings power rankings on Friday as well. And then we will run best of the best tournaments for both FanDuel and DraftKings on Friday as well. And that is basically, we take just the best players in the power rankings and we give them spots and they compete. And may the best man win. By the way, the judge should have taken down all three Chambers, especially on FanDuel. But I did not, and that leads us right into the Dream Killer segment. Who was the main Dream Killer, my soul crusher of the night? It either could have been one or two guys, either Carl Anthony Towns or PJ Tucker, depending how you want to look at it. If you go check on my Twitter timeline, you can see what Carl Anthony Towns did in basically the last 18 minutes of the game, the second half, the third quarter. And it was pretty clear early on that Tyson Chandler could not guard him. Towns is just too athletic. Towns goes out on the perimeter. So they actually had a lot of the game Tyson Chandler guarding Gorgui Dieng. But Towns in the first half was still fine. He was good. He was on. He had close to 30 FanDuel points in the first half or so, maybe a little bit less than that. And then starting in the middle of the third quarter, the Phoenix inserted PJ Tucker, and PJ Tucker is a great defender. I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, I mentioned PJ Tucker, and as I said, I'm a little worried to play Andrew Wiggins because I'm assuming PJ Tucker will be guarding Andrew Wiggins, and that's a tough matchup. I've watched PJ Tucker defend Anthony Davis this year. I've watched him defend LeBron James. He basically takes the best wing guy on every team, and occasionally like an Anthony Davis. Now he's like 6'4", not a big guy, although he is obviously thick and built, and he's strong. He's a bully. So he started guarding Karl Anthony Towns. And the first few times on the court, Karl Anthony Towns was posting up. He couldn't get position. He was getting bullied out of the way by PJ Tucker. And then he finally did get the ball one time, and he made like a spin move and got called for an offensive foul. This was, and that was basically, middle of the third quarter, late third quarter now. And for the rest of the game, and I'm not kidding, the rest of the game, he maybe touched the ball two times on the offensive end. Every time down the court, they put Karl Anthony Towns in the corner, and they didn't want to attack PJ Tucker. They were scared of him, and they gave the ball to Andrew Wiggins, and they went basically isolation with Andrew Wiggins at the top of the key. It was – if you own Karl Anthony Towns, and on this slate, because there weren't a lot of superstars playing on Tuesday night, you could easily afford to pay up for someone like a Towns – or John Wall, who were a little overpriced, but just, it made sense to pay up for him because you had extra money. So I had Towns almost everywhere, and he didn't touch the ball for like the last 18 minutes of the game. And it was it was surreal because he's got about 8 inches, maybe not eight, but he's at least 6 inches on Tucker. And like to have your best player to put him in a corner for the last 18 minutes of a game, it's just ludicrous. Yes, PJ Tucker is a good defender, but to kill yourself, kill your own team in that way was just appalling. Not to mention, Minnesota had a big lead, and Phoenix came back, and a large reason was PJ Tucker just took Towns out of the game. I mean, all Thibodeau had to do was basically go small. He could have got Gorgui Dieng out of the game, put in Muhammad, and then Tyson Chandler would have been forced to guard someone like Muhammad, or then they would have had to put Tyson Chandler back on Karl-Anthony Towns and then let PJ Tucker guard Wiggins. It was just Thibodeau. It's like these coaches are so stupid. It was super frustrating after that game because I ended up cashing in every lineup I had. I had a good night, really good night, but could have made thousands and made grinded out of a few hundred again, which it's hard to complain about whenever you win. I don't like complaining, but it just could have been a really good night. And the fact that PJ freaking Tucker allowed that to happen. Not to mention, like little things like that. Then you watch like the ripple effects on the entire game. Then Karl-Anthony Towns, because he's not engaged offensively, defensively he kind of locked out. And what did that allow? That allowed Tyson Chandler to go berserk and grab every rebound, get easy dunks, put up. He actually ended up with more FanDuel points than Karl-Anthony Towns. Not to mention, it also allowed Andrew Wiggins to not be defended by PJ Tucker and have the ball every possession. So he ended up putting up like 44 FanDuel points. So, I mean, like the ripple effects from that one move, to the rest of that game, it was pretty remarkable. And I'm thinking I'm seeing all of this unfold. And it was just frustrating. And I know I wasn't alone because Karl-Anthony Towns was like 40% owned, on this slate. And that was in like tournaments. Elfrid Payton, he was over 50% owned. I didn't play cash games on this slate, so I'm assuming he was even higher than that in cash games. He looked disinterested, disengaged. He was moping. It just wasn't his night. They were Orlando so banged up. DJ Augustine was out. Fournier was out. He had all the minutes and all the usage there for the taking, and he basically did a no-show. And it was – he also could be a soul crusher. It was just super disappointing. You could tell it wasn't his day, almost from the get-go. There was one possession where he basically I forgot who he hit, if it was Vucevic for like a wide-open layup. So at least he would have gotten an assist, and then Vucevic missed the easy layup. And it just like little things like that kept happening. So just not his night. It was just brutal. If you're watching, and he had like 8 turnovers, and he's been really good at not turning the ball over, and to have 8 turnovers, against the Bulls and the Bulls also don't create a lot of turnovers themselves. And Wade ended up with like 7 steals. Just weird. Like, that's what I mean with DFS. Weird things happen. Like Payton was still Elfrid was still a really good play given the circumstances, and so was Karl-Anthony Towns. And you can't let the results. You can't get fooled by the results. You can be just disappointed, absolutely. But just stuff like that's going to happen every night. That's why you just gotta stick it out. And over the long haul, things will work out. I have LaMarcus Aldridge as a dream killer because, as you know, Popovich had to make the slate even more fun for us, right? So we learned about 6:30 Eastern, 30 minutes before lineup lock, that Kawhi was going to be out again. So we. I know for me, I had to almost redo all of my lineups because Kawhi was a big piece of my puzzle going into this slate in a really good matchup against Toronto. So with Kawhi out, LaMarcus was almost in all my lineups, and he did fine, but he didn't shoot the ball that much. He didn't shoot that well. Secondly, they didn't get him the ball as much as I thought they would get him. Guys in the perimeter were jacking up shots that they shouldn't have been jacking up. Granted, the Spurs still beat Toronto without Kawhi. That's how good that system is. But overall, was overall a little bit disappointing for him. I think he ended up with around 35 FanDuel points, but he should have put up close to 50 without Kawhi. And Kyle Lowry, I have him for a dream killer as well because I really did expect him to be able to compete with a John Wall, with an Isaiah Thomas on this slate without DeMar DeRozan. I thought his usage would go through the roof, and it did. The problem was he basically became DeMar DeRozan. He ended with like 30 actual points and like 3 assists. Like, where was the 10 assists that I needed? So he ended up with, again, like similar to Aldridge, I think like around 35 FanDuel points, and maybe a little more than that. But it was, so he had a decent night, but not as good as Isaiah Thomas and John Wall. Those two guys were the keys to taking down the big money. So Lowry was good, but I we needed him to be great. Rudy Gobert, I mean, man, if you played him, exposure, because Jokic owned him, just abused him. I've only seen two guys this year dominate Gobert. One was Waffle House gravy syrup Julius Randle, who would just attack him with quickness. But Jokic is not quick. Jokic is just super skilled and just a big body, and he just had his way with Gobert. It was something to behold, and that's just how skilled Jokic is. So that was interesting to see, though. But if he played Gobert, and then I think he was in foul trouble, so the minutes weren't even great. Also, it was the fourth game in five nights for Utah, so I'm going to cut him a little slack, but not a good night if he played Gobert. Ersan Ilyasova, I mean, the guy who ended up coming out of nowhere and was a dream lover for sure was Nerlens Noel, and he kind of stole all the thunder from that Philly game. The Philly game ended up being super high paced. I know who were they playing? I even forgot. Oh, it was the Philly Clippers. So it should have been a lope, you know, but a stuck in mud emoji. I should have been tweeting out turtles, but I wasn't, because the pace was actually really good for that game. And I thought without Embiid, without Okafor, Ersan was going to crush, and he didn't. He ended up in like the low 20s. At one point he was like 1 for 7 from the floor. Shot wasn't falling. So he ended up around, you know, in the low 20s. Not great. Eric Bledsoe, you know, if you played him over, his price skyrocketed. It was like the same as Isaiah Thomas. So if you played him over a guy like Isaiah or John Wall, you probably, even Kyle Lowry, you probably didn't have a great night. He didn't shoot the ball well in the first half, and then he got in foul trouble. In the third quarter, he picked up his fourth foul, and then he was kind of a non-factor. He picked up some late garbage points to maybe salvage your night if you played him. But it really was the foul trouble. Otherwise, I still think he would have ended up with around 40 to 45 FanDuel points again. Zach LaVine just stinks. We should just start calling him Courtney Lee, and he absolutely is on the team at Magic Mountain. I don't know if he's the leader, but he absolutely is there. The man without a usage rate, Otto Porter, got a lot of tweets about Otto Porter, and that's one reason why I don't play him. I loved that Washington-Boston game. It was actually a great game to watch, but he just doesn't get the ball to shoot. So at one point, I think late in the third quarter, he was like 2 for 2 from the floor. Two shots. And that's the problem. Like he's gotta get rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. And when guys like Bradley Beal have it going, and Wall's usage rate is already through the roof. And if Beal's shot's going, and Gortat's maybe playing well, and the other thing going on lately with Washington is Markieff has been amazing. Again, Markieff went nuts with over 30 FanDuel points, close to 40. So that, like, Otto's just the odd man out in terms of shots, and that's why he never makes my lineups. Gordon Hayward, you know, I think for Utah, let's just chalk it up to four games and five nights. But when they're healthy, which they basically are right now, it's tough. I mean, no one, you never know which night who's gonna get the extra shots. And I mean, no one was really good for Utah. Was the only one who played relatively well. George Hill was okay. And then Damari Carroll, if you played him, dream killer. Jesus. I don't understand. He's supposed to be the junior varsity version of Jay Crowder, and it hasn't been happening so far. Dream lovers, lots of those guys as well. Isaiah Thomas, he's just tremendous. The usage is just so good. Without Avery Bradley, I mean, man, I wish I would have played more Isaiah Thomas. I went a lot of John Wall and a lot of Kyle Lowry. I did have some Isaiah, but I wish I would have went more. I wish I just would have stacked that game and went all Wall and Isaiah Thomas. Speaking of John Wall was overpriced on FanDuel. If it was a slate like it is on Wednesday with a 10 game slate, I probably would not have played Wall. But because there was lots of value and I had extra money, I didn't mind paying up for Wall at 10.7K. Hopefully the salary will come down before next game. But he still ended up with, I think he was the highest point guard in total of the night. So he was in all the winning lineups. He's playing so well, so consistent. The Wizards are unbelievable at home. I think they've won like 13 straight now. It's just, I would like to see his price around the 10K, not the 10.7K. D Wade, everyone hates D Wade. If you listen to some of the shows, especially like the Roto Grinder shows, You know, those guys just don't watch basketball. I mean, I guess a couple of them do. I respect a couple of the guys, but they trash Wade so much. I mean, you can tell they haven't watched him play all year. Wade's usage is through the roof. Also, the good thing about Wade, when you know, on a back to back, you don't play Wade, especially in cash. But when he has rest, he fills up the stat sheet, and if his shot is going, he's going to put up a nice FanDuel point night. And he on a night like Tuesday ended up with like 7 steals. That was an anomaly. But he was just really good, ended up with like 45 FanDuel points. And he was just a nice, safe play. And, you know, some of the other sites just like, don't know what they're talking about. Bradley Beal, he's at Magic Mountain, but he had a good night on Tuesday. Not as good as Wade, but he ended up with like 39 FanDuel points. So if you played the combo of Wade and Beal and you avoided kind of the bums, the duds, the trapdoors, that shooting guard, you probably had a good night. Speaking of one of the bums, though, Powell, starting for DeMar DeRozan, played really well. Had like 29 FanDuel points. I was really impressed with him. Now on Wednesday, Toronto gets Memphis without DeMar, so we'll see if Powell can still have a good game on Wednesday. But he was really good. Andrew Wiggins, I mentioned, I mean, it shouldn't have been his night because P.J. Tucker should have been defending him, but because Tucker guarded someone 7 inches taller than him, literally possession that whole fourth quarter and a lot of the third quarter was isolation. Andrew Wiggins, he had the ball in his hands, and you got to give him credit. He played well. He hit the game winning basket. I think almost at the buzzer. I think it was at the buzzer. So you know, congrats to him. He is a supremely talented offensive player, and he had a good night. Terrence Ross, I mentioned him on the show yesterday. He actually before if you looked at the usage rates yesterday, not today. When DeMar is out, he actually saw the biggest bump, and he's when he gets minutes. And he will without DeMar. He's going to jack up the ball. It's what he does best. He had over 20 FanDuel points, and he's a small forward, which is someewhat weak position as well. At least it was on Tuesday. So he was in some winning lineups. Nerlens Noel was tremendous. Another reason why coaches just are absolute buffoons and morons because he's always been good defensively ever since he's been in the league. It is tough to play him and Embiid together. But he clearly should be getting minutes. Okafor should be – get rid of Okafor. I don't care if you waive him. Okafor stinks. I guess you got to try to get – you know, to up his trade value, maybe play him a little bit. But Nerlens, he's got it. He deserves court time. He's really good offensively. No, sorry, he's really good defensively, not offensively. But offensively, he can do some things around the basket. So he was excellent on Tuesday night. Over 40 FanDuel points. I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised. He was like over 20% owned. I didn't think he'd be that highly owned. So he didn't turn out to be the sneaky ninja I wanted, but that ended up being one of the best plays. Markieff Morris, he's become a consistency monster. I don't know how it happened, but it did. Tyson Chandler, I mentioned, it's just frustrating because he should have been guarding Towns. I cannot get over this. He should have been guarding Towns. You have a 7-footer. I mean, they allowed him to not guard anyone defensively. Minnesota allowed him just not guard anyone defensively, to grab every rebound. Not to mention when Karl Anthony Towns is sitting in the corner, he's not going to be able to get any offensive rebounds. So it's made rebounding. It made Tyson Chandler's life. It was a walk in the freaking park on Tuesday night, and he had over 40 FanDuel points. Jokic, monster, greatest player alive. My first child will be named Jokic. Favors, he was the only guy for Utah that did okay, close to 30 FanDuel points. And then P.J. Tucker, not only was he good defensively, he still ended up with like 34 or 35 FanDuel points. Unbelievable, P.J. freaking Tucker. all right, injury news. Let's shake off. The judge must shake off the P.J. Tuckerness. All right, injury news for Wednesday. Tyler Johnson still out with a strained shoulder, so our favorite player, Deion Waiters, this guy's going to be in play again. Dragic is in a really good spot as well. The Tin Man, Anthony Davis, he's allegedly going to try to play. What quarter will he be in the locker room? We shall see. Let's take, you know, if you want to tweet at me. Currently, I have early in the third quarter, he will suffer an eyelash injury. That is what I think. Let me know what you guys think. Tyreke Evans might be out with an ankle. That would be tremendous if he sits out. Oh, I would love that. Then I could maybe go with some Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis lineups. Let's hope that Tyreke is out. Okafor, please sit out Okafor. Right knee soreness. So if he's out and Embiid is going to be out with the knee again, Nerlens Noel be a good play again. Also, I think Ersan, I think, is still a good play if he can, if his shot can, if he can make some shots. Then you got the Charlotte guys. You got Jeremy Lamb, a foot injury, Kaminsky, a nasal fracture, and Cody Zeller, a quad, and they're all questionable. If all three of those guys are out, you look at the usage rates. No one really sees a big bump. Surprisingly, MKG, the man without a usage rate, gets a 2% usage bump, which for him is like that's a miracle. Because his is so low anyway. It's like his is like 15-16%. So a little bump for MKG is interesting. But guys like Marvin Williams, I guess, would be in play. Patrick Patterson and DeMar DeRozan probably going to be out for Toronto. So Paul, Ross, Lowry gets a 3% usage bump. They do play Memphis though. Then you got Andrew Bogut and Wesley Matthews are both questionable. And if those guys are out, the interesting thing there is Dirk sees a 6.2% usage bump. That's it. That is very interesting. The judge saw that and I went, oh, a sneaky ninja, Dirk Nowitzki maybe? I mean, Wade is going nuts. Wade's 35. How old is Dirk? 45, 55, 65? Maybe he could be a senior citizen night on Wednesday. So Dirk gets a 6% bump. Justin Anderson gets almost a 3% usage bump. Powell gets a 2.2% usage bump, although Carlisle, he's too much of an a-hole to play Powell any minutes because that would make too much sense. And Seth Curry gets a 2% usage bump. And Seth Curry's been playing pretty well. All right, let's take a quick little flight to Vegas. I don't want a pool party because my feet are pretty nasty right now. So, although I appreciate one of you guys tweeted me that you also have disgusting feet. So you were able to commiserate with the judge on that issue. But let's go to the blackjack table at Hard Rock. That's where the judge likes to spend his time. When I was younger, that's where I spent a lot of my days. In the wee hours of the night, like now, when instead of doing a podcast at almost four in the morning, I'd be at the Hard Rock playing blackjack. All right. So we're still waiting on OKC New Orleans. That should be a pretty tasty over-under. I would predict that one's going to be around 210, 211, something like that. You got Houston, Boston. It's 230 over-under. Boston's coming on a back-to-back. That's a phenomenal game. Just, deliciousness everywhere. We know who's going to get all the minutes in that game. So that's going to be a fun game. Golden State, Charlotte, 221 over-under. So Charlotte playing way up in pace. Lakers, Portland. I mean, the schedule for this for Wednesday is crazy because it's almost all early games, and then all 7 o'clock and 8 p.m. starts, and then you have a 2.5 hour gap, and then the Lakers, Portland is the only game at 10:30 Eastern. So we're gonna have to all sit around like a holes from 10:30 to 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. If you make lots of lineups, even if you don't, you might want to have at least one player in that Lakers Portland game. Cause I'm telling you, it's going to be painful. You have a great score and then watch someone in that, like a Lou Williams or a freaking Jordan Clarkson or someone stupid is going to knock you out of some serious money in the late game hammer. A couple games that I'm looking to avoid. I should mention Miami's at Brooklyn. That's an interesting game. Because I mentioned the Miami guys are all in great spots because Brooklyn doesn't defend at any position ever. So that's interesting. Miami playing way up in pace. Then a couple games, Toronto, Memphis, a 200 over under. And remember, on slates like this, you need to narrow the player pool. You can't be looking at a sheet all day of all 10 games with 200 players. You got to narrow it somehow. And for me, a lot of the Toronto Memphis, I don't want a lot of guys in that game normally. The problem was with DeMar out, you're seeing guys who are underpriced. So you got guys like Powell who are good value plays. So I still may look to some of those guys, and I still think Lowry's gonna be an okay play. Atlanta, Chicago, that may be a game for the most part I stay away from. That's a 203 over under. Knicks, Dallas, that's a disgusting game, a 204 over under. There are some games if you just in terms of the over-unders, if you want to avoid, it's an easy way to narrow the player pool. Pace, I love the bailiff. Pace and usage. Teams playing up in pace, I like to attack because they get extra possessions and their salaries are based on their average level of possessions, which they're going to get more of on this particular night. So they're underpriced. So Miami way up in pace against Brooklyn. Charlotte way up in pace against Golden State. Boston, not as significant, but they are playing up in pace against Houston. Portland a little bit against the Lakers. And then the Pelicans a tiny bit against OKC. Lots to talk about, so let's just jump into the plays. We'll skip over defense versus position. If it comes up, it comes up during the show. All right, so this is a slate, unlike Tuesday, where we have stars galore. You got Westbrook, Harden, Giannis, LeBron, Durant, Anthony Davis, the Tin Man, DeMarcus Cousins. So they're all in play. We didn't have that issue on Tuesday. Tuesday was John Wall and Towns were the quote-unquote big stars. Not this slate. So, you know, if you've been paying attention, you've seen most of the winning lineups this year. And when I say most, I'll just say like over 50% on large slates haven't had the Westbrooks, haven't had the Hardens, haven't had the guys who are 12K and over. The balanced lineups have been taken down large tournaments. And that's, you know, for a number of reasons. But it's one of them is because, especially like at point guard, it's just loaded. There's so many guys who could hit 6, 7, 8 times value. So unless Westbrook puts up an 80-90 FanDuel point night, you can still play guys like an Isaiah Thomas, a Kyrie Irving, a Lowry, a Kemba, a Goran Dragic. I mean, guys are going to smash value every night at that point guard position, and Westbrook's 12.5K. So he's got to give you like 70 FanDuel points, 65 FanDuel points. And that's not playing elite on any given night. That's playing superhuman. So can he still do it? Is he that good? Yeah, but you don't have to do it. And also it's on large slates. It's not, you know, on a night like Tuesday, I think more of like overall points. I want my lineup to somehow get me to 300 points somehow. Right. And I think the easy way to do that, give me Wall, cause I know he's going to give me 50, you know, normally Towns would have given me 50. Just give me the points. I'm putting guys that are going to give me points on a slate like this. You know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to worry about raw number of points because, I mean, I can get to 300 in like 1,000 different ways. And I'm not even shooting for 300. I'm shooting for a score much higher than that. So Westbrook, 12.5K. You can attack the Pelicans guards. Drew's decent defensively, but not great. But do you need to play Westbrook in cash? No, you don't. If you do it, it's never a wrong decision to play him in cash. And in tournaments, you can fade him on this slate. But one reason I do also, in tournaments, I'll have maybe 30% exposure to Westbrook in tournaments. At least right now, that's kind of the number I have in my head. Because he's going, the one thing I do like about rostering guys like that are this is the chance you're going to get them low owned. I got Westbrook at 10% a couple nights ago, and he won me, you know, $400 or $500 because, you know, that's he put up 70 FanDuel points or so, and that was against Utah. So he's obviously capable and always a good play, always a great play. He's just super expensive. You don't need to do it. Isaiah Thomas, 9.3K. Monster usage rate of 35%. By the way, Westbrook's is almost 46% now. So Isaiah in a game of a 230 over-under. Patrick Beverley defense hasn't been the same in the last few weeks, I don't think. So without Avery Bradley, I think Isaiah is fine for all formats. He's been rock solid consistent too. Look at the game logs. 47, 48, 46, 44, 41, 48 FanDuel points the last, 6, 7 games or so. It's just the usage rate is so phenomenal. You're getting basically saving over $3,000 if you play him over Westbrook. So he's safe for all formats. Steph Curry, 8.9K. I'm not touching. Look, I'm not. Golden State guys, I'm not touching any of them in cash games. The only one I may consider is Durant. And on this slate, there's no way in hell I would even consider him because it's a 10-game slate. And I just don't think you need to do it. But they're all good tournament plays, always. But even with that said, Steph, even when he's played well lately, he gives you like in the low to mid-40s. So he hasn't had 50. He's had 50, I think, one time in January. And he had 50. He's only had 50 one time this year. It's just amazing. I mean, Durant's the best player on that team by far, I think. It's you know, Steph still has a, you know, close to what, almost a 30% usage rate, but it's just not the guy from last year. So you want to use him, you can. Just not the upside, just not really there. Kyrie Irving, 8.5K. Sacramento does struggle to defend point guard. He went nuts last game. Also, you know what? I was going to list LeBron as a dream killer because what is LeBron talking about? Like pouting after the Cavs lost to the Pelicans, that LeBron basically said that the Cleveland needs a playmaker. After Kyrie just put up 49 actual points and Kevin Love had a good game. I mean, like, what are you talking about, LeBron? Why do you need another playmaker? I mean, I guess to maybe compete with Golden State, maybe. Jesus Christ, come on. You're still, I mean, you guys are the second most talented team in the NBA. So Kyrie was great. It looks like he's over that little funk he was in on that long road trip. With that said, 8.5K is expensive. This is a slow-paced game. Do I really want to do it? For the most part, I'm not. I don't love this play. Kyle Lowry, 8.4K. If it wasn't Memphis or Utah, but with that said, we've seen Zach LaVine. I've seen Elfrid Payton destroy teams that are slow in pace. Lowry's going to get tons of shots. You saw it on Tuesday night. Quite honestly, I don't even care that it's Memphis. I'm fine with all formats. Without DeMar, they will need him to shoot a ton. Hopefully he can get some more assists. And maybe this game ends up being a little faster paced than I hope for. I also really like him for tournaments. He's going to be under-owned. Everyone sees Memphis and shudders with fear. It's like, you know, basically Memphis is like, it's like PJ Tucker guarding you. Oh, hide in a little corner. I cannot click on the submit button. The judge will be clicking on that freaking submit button because Lowry has massive upside without DeMar DeRozan. He could give me 50 Vando points. Could Lowry end up being the highest scoring point guard on the night besides Westbrook? Yeah, I think he could. Jrue Dench, Dame Lillard against the Lakers. He's in an elite spot. Quite honestly, if you want to lock him in for cash, I'm fine with it. He's been close to around 40 Vando points the last four or five games. Played the Lakers, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. In 31 minutes, put up 39 Vando points. The Lakers, I also think this game will somewhat stay close because the Lakers got blown up by like 40 on Sunday by Dallas. So they should be pumped up for this game. So Lillard, safe for all formats. I'm a big fan of him as well. I think he's in a really good tournament spot too. Kemba Walker, 7.8K. So the price has come down, which is great. I like playing Kemba at home. He's at home, and they're playing way up in pace. Kemba has kind of been a Magic Mountain guy, which is surprising this year. I don't understand why that's been. Now, some of that has been, if you listen to the podcast, you know that they are the Charlotte Batums, and that's because Batum runs a lot of that offense, and Kemba Walker basically plays like a two guard. He's running off of screens, for large portions of the games, which basically means he doesn't have the ball in his hands and he's not getting a lot of assists and peripheral stats. So with that said, though, he's in a good spot too. He's going to get, what, an extra 20 possessions against Golden State? So safe for me. I think he's safe for all formats in this on this slate. But obviously, if you want to put – is Dame probably a little bit safer against a crappy Lakers defensive team, I guess? Although I just think – I mean, Steph Curry is so bad defensively, and I think Klay is going to guard Batum. So Kemba to me is fine. Mike Conley, 7.6K. You know, I let the slate dictate who I play, and this slate, I just prefer other guys. I mean, Conley was 6.8K, I think, a few days ago. Now he's 7.6K. Yeah, so that's kind of pricey. I think he's fine. I think if you play him, he's not going to kill your lineup. So maybe if you want to roll him out in cash games, he'll probably find a way to give you between 30 and 40. But I don't love the upside. Dragic, 7K. I wanted to go all in on Dragic a couple nights ago against Golden State. I'm glad I didn't. He was fine. He put up 29 Fando points, but Deion Waiters was so hot, and Dragic basically hid in the corner large stretches of that game. But Tyler Johnson still is out. Dragic, he's been good the last four or five games, 29, 34, 41, 39. With that price against Brooklyn, against Bimwitty, whatever the frick that guy's name is, how can he not get 35 Vando points? To me, just – I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to put it in my cash games. I'm going to lock and load him in my cash games. The problem is I want to lock and load lots of point guards. I mean, there's so many guys, but 7K against Brooklyn. I mean, I know Kemba, we said the same thing about Kemba a few days ago, and DFS is weird. So bizarre stuff's probably going to happen, but on paper, this is just it's an elite play for Dragic. Drew Holiday, 6.8K. If Tyreek is out, I will use some Drew because I do like to attack Russell Westbrook, who doesn't play any defense. If Tyreek is in, I won't have a ton of Holiday. Also, Holiday's coming off of a 60 Fanduel point night, so recency bias. He's probably going to be high, pretty high owned on this slate. So I'm not a huge fan, although I will have a little exposure. The criminal himself, Derrick Rose, 6.7K. To me, that's too expensive for a one-trick pony. And playing way down in pace against Dallas, stuck in mud. Turtle emoji. I just don't see it for Rose on this slate. Dennis Schroeder, another game that's going to be pretty slow in pace. You can do it. To me, he's a tournament only because I'm worried. The minutes have been okay the last three games. Before that, I did watch him get benched because his defense is so atrocious. So minutes only. Darren Williams, he's okay if you want to save a little bit. 6.3K going up against Derrick Rose. So Dallas playing up in pace, especially if Wes Matthews is out. Maybe Darren gets his usage rate didn't seem like it goes up too much, but I think he's okay on this slate. The problem is I just prefer other guys. Marcus Smart, I played him on Tuesday. I got him at like 6%, and I was hoping it was going to pay off. He played pretty well. The problem was it was just on a small slate. You basically needed to play Wall and Isaiah Thomas. So he gave me 27 Fanduel points, which was fine, but I couldn't take advantage of his discounted price to spending up on anyone else. I mean, I got Towns, but that didn't work. So it just didn't pay off overall, the strategy on Tuesday. But this slate, I like him again. A 230 over-under, I think he's fine. I think he's safe for all formats. Not tremendous upside, though. Patrick Beverley, there's just guys I prefer more. He's fine. He's going to stumble, bumble in the mid-20s. I don't see him being in the winning slam lineup. And remember, when you're playing it, what I want you to do, before you hit submit in every lineup you have, you should ask yourself, what's my goal with this lineup? What am I trying to do? Am I trying to cash in a 50-50? Am I trying to cash in a double-up? Is this a head-to-head? Am I truly trying to take down a tournament? I mean, ask yourself, what's your goal when you're playing? And mine is to take down a tournament. And do I think Beverly's going to be in that lineup? I don't see it. TJ McConnell, another guy. I just can't envision. He doesn't have the upside. He's 5.5K. It's just too expensive. He's a nice little white guy. But, if I want to be friends with someone, maybe I'll call TJ McConnell. But I want to win some money. He's not a huge fan. And playing down in pace, just not the right night for him. Jordan Clarkson, in theory, without D'Angelo Russell, you'd think he'd be a good play, right? The last game is kind of a misnomer because they got just blitzed by Dallas. But if he can get in like the mid-30s, the problem is his price came up to 5.4K. But if he gets 30-plus minutes against Judy Dench defense, he could put up 30, 35 Fanduel points. He could be a sneaky ninja. But he's going to go under-owned because everyone's going to think that price is too expensive. It's all about the minutes with him. I would say tournaments only, though. Other than that, then you got under 5K. You got on a 10-game slate, guys, you don't need to force it. You really don't need to force plays. Every day I get questions, asking. It'll be like the 12th guy in an NBA roster. And on certain slates, it's okay to ask. And I get it if you are trying to take down a GPP. I get why you ask that sometimes, but on a slate like this, you don't really need to. I mean, if you feel like you're forcing it too much, you probably are. The winning slam lineup, every player is basically going to be a pretty good player, and you don't have to worry too much about ownership. Also, on a 10-game slate, because a quote unquote chalk play on a 10-game slate is someone like almost 30% owned. It's not like a 5-6 game slate where you're going to have multiple guys 50% owned. That's just not going to happen. If I'm gonna look at under the 5K guys, I do like Dellavedova, man. He's 3.9K. The price didn't come up at all. And he could easily give me 25, 30 Fanduel points. And if I am trying to get a lineup with a Harden, with a Westbrook, with a Giannis, then I will need to play a couple bums. And Dellavedova, I think he's safe. And he's fine for all formats. The other guy that I might look to is Grant for Chicago, who's starting. Now, the Bulls don't need a point guard. Wade and Butler are basically their point guards. They're now starting Grant. MCW's bench. Rondo still plays a little bit. But on a back-to-back, Wade's probably going to be limited. The minutes, if he doesn't have it going, the minutes will be down. Then I think Grant will get some extra minutes. And Atlanta defense, Dennis Schroeder stinks defensively. That's why he got benched. So Grant does have skills. He does have upside. So if I'm in tournaments, if I'm playing 10 lineups, maybe I'll have one or two with Grant in it. Maybe one. Because remember, it is a 10-game slate, like I just said. Don't force it. But I do think there's some merit to that play. James Harden, shooting guard. James Harden, 12.1K. Because point guard is so loaded, Harden does make a little bit more sense to me from a roster construction lineup. Shooting guard's never as good as point guard. Also, the highest over-under of the night, 230. No Avery Bradley defense to guard Harden. The last few nights I've seen people destroy Boston. Bradley Beal just lit up Boston at the shooting guard position. So Harden's in a really good spot here. Again, do you need to do it on a 10-game slate? No, you don't. Because unless he gets 70, 80 FanDuel points, you can still win without him. But he's in a good spot. Fine for all formats. Giannis, 10.4K. So his price has come down a little bit. He's been not great, not elite. Not Jokic level, the last few games, 47, 43, and 39. And that's problematic if he puts up that line again. And when you're paying this price, especially on a 10-game slate, you can't afford that to happen. With that said, he's just too talented to let that to continue to happen. The price is fine. I don't love the pace of this game, but you can get a 1.7 savings from James Harden. He's fine. He's always fine for all formats. CJ McCollum, 8.1K. The last time that, speaking of destroying Boston shooting guards, he lit up Boston for 48 FanDuel points over the weekend. So with that said, he's a one trick pony. I prefer, you could look at, if this wasn't a 10 game slate, if it was like a 5-game slate, I would have no issues going with a Dame Lillard and a CJ McCollum lineup. Roster than both. But the odds are only one of them is going to have a monster game. I just prefer Judy Dench a little bit to CJ McCollum. Although CJ's fine too. So I will have a little bit of exposure. I mean, the Lakers are just, they don't defend anyone. Nicholas Batum, this is a really good spot for Batum. Everyone's pissed off coming off a really bad game for him where he put up only 19 FanDuel points. He should bounce back really nicely against Golden State. He should fill up the stat sheet. He's going to be under-owned, and I like him for all formats. D. Wade, 7K. He's been excellent. Last two games, 50 over 50 and over, almost close to back-to-back 50 burgers from D. Wade. But on a back-to-back, it's just super hard to see. His knees, he does just not – he does a lot of it now with just guile. He's just so skilled offensively and such a smart player. So on a back-to-back, though, it's going to be tough for him to really put up a monster line. So tournaments, I guess tournaments only, but even that, it's hard to play. Klay, tournaments only, Klay Thompson. Deion Waiters, the price has come up to 6K. For a one-trick pony, that's expensive because he's put up 44 and 40 FanDuel points the last two games. He's had 33 actual points. Wow. If you look at he's played 33 minutes and had 33 actual points the last two games. Lots of threes if you're looking at the game logs. But so he's been tremendous. Another really good spot against Brooklyn. So why not? When a streaky shooter is playing well, you can ride it. Would it be a good day to fade him a little bit as well? Sure, because he's probably going to be pretty highly owned. But attack Brooklyn, attack Brooklyn, attack Brooklyn. He's fine for all formats, especially because Tyler Johnson's out. Oladipo, 5.7K. He's going to be a sneaky ninja. He's going to be a forgotten guy on this slate. And you can attack the Pelicans guards. He's been around 30 FanDuel points. I think he should be relatively safe. He's fine. I don't mind it. Eric Gordon, 5.7K. He was a consistency monster for like a 2-month stretch. And then he's really struggled shooting the ball for really streaky the last week and a half or so. So can't do it in cash anymore. But for tournaments, he's still fine. Remember, people have been destroying the Boston shooting guards. And if he does get hot, he can put up 40 Fando points. And he takes a ton of three-pointers. Lou Williams, 5.7K. Dude, he's so crafty. You watch him play. Him and Harden are probably the best players in the league at drawing fouls that are not fouls, because he just jumps into defenders and gets the call. He was, before the Dallas debacle, 37, 41, and 35 Fando points. I would expect him to get 30 minutes without D'Angelo Russell. Portland defense stinks. CJ McCollum and Lillard are horrendous defensively. They're horrendous everywhere defensively. That's why Portland stinks as a team. They really can't defend any position. So Lou Williams is a nice tournament play on this slate. Then you go under the 5K. So then you got Tim Hardaway Jr., the Nick Youngs, the Sean Kilpatricks, Seth Curry, who I think is a nice play on this slate, especially if Wes Matthews is out. I really do like Seth Curry for all formats. Shumpert's been pretty good for Cleveland. He's sitting there at 4K for free. Justin Holiday is my sneaky ninja at shooting guard in this slate. 3.7K, not a great pace game. He's coming off of 32 minutes. He's the one guy for the Knicks that needs to get minutes. He's like their best defender, especially the best perimeter defender they have on the roster. 27 Fando points. He could do that again. And if he does that again at that salary, he could be in a winning GPP lineup. Small forward. Wow. I got to pick up the pace. And 10 game slates, man. Long podcast. LeBron James, 10.7K. LeBron, you know, he's always fine for any format. He's getting pricey. In a slowdown game now against Sacramento, I don't know who the hell from Sacramento is going to be guarding him. Without Rudy Gay, they're kind of a mess at that position right now. So their defense versus position is not really an accurate reflection. He's fine for any format. It's just, I just don't know how I'm going to pay that salary, especially in cash games. I think I prefer the more balanced lineup right now, at least in cash games. But I'll play some LeBron somewhere. He's fine. It should be somewhat of a slowdown game, and I am a little worried about a blowout. Was there a spread in that game or not? Let's see. Yeah, so Cleveland is favored by 11. I mean, they've been playing so bad, though. I mean, they've lost 5 out of 7. But, I mean, they should destroy Sacramento, you would think. Kevin Durant, 10.3K. Tournaments only for Durant, for me. Jimmy Butler, 9.5K. He's pricey, too. But on a back-to-back, that means Wade's going to be limited. I mean, Butler, he's pretty safe any day. He had, like, a subpar game on Tuesday and still put up 40 Fando points. You know, it's just he's going to play 40 minutes or close to. The Bulls need to start winning games. I think they're basically fighting. They're, like, a half game out of the sixth spot. I think they're in the seventh spot in the East right now. I think he's just a nice, safe cash game play, especially because Wade's going to be limited on the back-to-back. And he's fine for all formats. Carmelo, this New York-Dallas game, I'm going to avoid a lot of, so not really. Harrison Barnes, kind of the same thing. I like the fact the price is coming down a little bit, so I don't mind it. He just hasn't shown the upside since Dirk has come back lately, so not a huge fan. Jay Crowder. Crowder was terrific on Tuesday. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be again on Wednesday. I told you, he's like one of my cash game favorites. He just finds a way to grind out 25 to 30 Fando points. He did it again on Tuesday. I told you he was going to on the podcast yesterday, and he will do it again on Wednesday. Look at these game logs. His name should be Cash Game Crowder. That's what he is. 29 Fando points, 25, 29, 32, 28, 33. It's just, if you don't want to think, you got too much going on, your girlfriend's bugging you, your boss is bugging you, put in Jay Crowder and just be relaxed and just have a nice 25 to 30 Fando points. Lord Covington, and he is a lord. He started out as a peasant on Tuesday. We were nervous. Then he came through, gave us 35 Fando points. That's three straight games now of 30 Fando points. With Embiid out, Okafor probably going to be out. I like him again. Probably tournaments only, though, because if his shot's not falling, he can put up a dud and become the peasant again. I prefer Crowder and Cash. Ariza, I will have my one mandatory Harden Ariza lineup. Ariza's making shots, can put up a big line. MKG, I mentioned his usage goes up if those all those Charlotte guys are out, Zeller and Kaminsky and Lamb. You know, just be a little weary of the fact that we saw what Otto Porter happened to Otto on Tuesday. Without shots, some games can be tough. Now, Charlotte playing way up in pace against Golden State, so I think he's in a good spot, and I think he's fine for all formats. Then you got under 5K, so small forwards, not elite, even for a 10-game slate. You got the Bays, Brandon Ingram. Ingram's in a nice bounce-back spot, coming off a disaster. Damari Carroll, ugh. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, LeVert, Bum. Terrence Ross, I do like Terrence Ross in this without DeMar DeRozan. And that's about it. Our good old boy Matt Barnes, what's he doing lately? Yep, he's doing Matt Barnes things. He's gonna give you 10 or 25. Power forward. The Tin Man is allegedly playing. If the Tin Man plays, he's really good. You know, I think he's going to have an eyelash injury in the third quarter, maybe a toenail injury. Maybe he's going to get, God only knows what else could happen. With that said, I can't use him in cash games, but Oklahoma City, I don't know who's going to guard him. Maybe Steven Adams. He's tournament play. He could go nuts. So play him in tournaments, but cash games, I just can't trust it. Paul Millsap. Millsap's, to me, is a really nice cash game play. Doesn't have tremendous upside, although he did put up 47 last game out. But other than that, he's usually been in like the 30s to low 40s. He's fine on this slate as well. The Bulls, I mean, Taj Gibson, I thought was a good defender. He tries really hard, but everyone destroys Taj Gibson. I mean, Taj Gibson, he cannot move. He's super slow lateral. His lateral quickness is non-existent. He has trouble getting off the ground. So I think Millsap should be able to abuse Taj Gibson. The problem with Millsap is the usage rate. He doesn't get the ball enough, and it's super frustrating. And that's because guys like Dennis Schroeder take too many stupid shots. Tim Hardaway frickin' Jr. comes in and guns up shots. Millsap's fine. Jabari Parker. So his price came up to 7.9K because he's coming off his best game of the year against Houston. Now you're playing down in pace against Philly. He's a one trick pony because he does not rebound the ball really well. That's too expensive to me on this slate. Maybe I'll play him if I have 10 lineups. Maybe he makes two. Maybe. Kevin Love 7.7K. He's too cheap. So I think Love is fine for all formats. He 47 Fando points against the Pelicans. All year long, the Kings have struggled to defend power forwards. I don't know who the hell they're going to – I mean, Kufis? Cauley-Stein? Where the hell is he? Is he even alive? Has anyone seen Cauley-Stein lately? Anthony Tolliver? So Love's in a really good spot. He's cheap. I like getting guys at a bargain price, which we'll talk about in a second because someone's really cheap who I like for tournaments. But Love's fine. Draymond Green – tournaments only for me. I'm tempted to pull the trigger in cash on Draymond because he's getting cheap too. 7.7K is pretty cheap for him. But he's been in the 20s the last two games. In a 10-game slate, I just can't afford to take that he's going to put up that kind of dud for me. So I'll pass. And, he's probably partying right now as we speak. Partying on South Beach for sure on Saturday night. Porzingis, 6.7K. He was over 8K before his recent injury. You know, I've been trying to read the New York papers, listen to the beat writers. You know, I'm not really sure how much he's still banged up, but since he's been back from injury, he's been bad 14, 20, and 25 Fanduel points. So you can't play him in cash. But at that price, I mean, he does have 40, 45, 50 Fanduel point upside, and he gets the Dirk Nowitzki defense. So, you know, maybe he's coming off a couple days rest. Maybe he's feeling better, and I will play him in some tournaments, absolutely. Waffle House Randall, you know, we make money attacking Portland power forwards. And I don't care if Aminu's playing a little bit better, Aminu's not. Randall has been a Magic Mountain guy, kind of all over the map. The minutes have been all over the map. I had a lot of Randall last time they played Portland, and he let me down with only 20 Vandal points, 26 minutes. But I think he'll bounce back on Wednesday. If you don't want to play him in cash, understandable. But tournaments, I think he's good, a good spot. Enes Kanter, tournaments only for me, 6.2K. You can New Orleans struggled, and Anthony Davis, they struggle to defend power forwards. I mean, they give up like a third most all year. So Kanter should be able to smash if he gets minutes. Ersan, I like Ersan a lot on this slate. I think because of recency bias, he struggled on Tuesday. People aren't going to want to play him on Wednesday. He just missed shots. So, you know, the minutes were bad too. 22 minutes. Yeah. Wow. All right. So maybe I need to rethink a little bit about Ersan. So for now, let's do a little pause. Let's do a little pause on Ersan. I need more research on this. Get back to me tomorrow on Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this podcast. I still think Ersan's in a good spot, but don't do it for cash games. Zach Randolph, 5.9K. Fine. On a 10-game slate, though, I don't think you need to do it. You know, but he's the epitome of someone stumbling, bumbling, fumbling into between 20 and 30 Fando points. James Johnson. Really good spot for him. He's kind of struggled the last couple of games, been disappointing. 20 and 9, basically 20 Fandom points the last, under 20 or less the last three games. Now you get Brooklyn. I love playing him in pace up games. So, ideal spot. You couldn't ask for a better spot for him. And Brooklyn has, no one to defend him. Cash games, it may be a little risky at this point, but because of the matchup, I think he's fine for any format. Terrence Jones, I'm sure Elvin Gentry will bench him and not play him at all. So he should be starting. If he starts, he's okay to play. Dirk Nowitzki, I mentioned at the top of the show, he gets a 6% usage bump without Wes Matthews and Bogut. So he's been in like the low to mid to high 20s. He's fine. Will he have like 140 Fandle point night this year? He will at some point. Could it be against the Knicks? Maybe. So I don't mind it. And he's going up against a younger version of himself in Porzingis. Aminu, 5.4K. That's too expensive. His usage rate is just – it's ungodly. I mean, you think Otto Porter's is bad. Then you look at Aminu's, which – let me see what it is exactly. Unbelievable. All right, my computer's decides to freeze up on me a little bit at 4:30 in the morning. So, but Aminu is just too expensive for me. Look, they are playing the Lakers, so if you want to do it, you can take a shot. He'll get you like low 20s, I would predict. Trevor Booker, whatever. Marvin Williams. I mean, if all the Charlotte guys are out, he's got to see minutes, right? He's got to see 30 minutes. I played him, I think, played him a couple days ago. Was it yesterday? I don't even remember what day. And he gave me 35 Fandle points. So he's been relatively consistent lately too. I think I had him at like 2% over the weekend. So if those guys are out playing, they're playing way up in pace. I will definitely have some Marvin Williams exposure if Zeller and Kaminsky are out. Taj Gibson, the minutes aren't there. It's just the production's not there. He actually got 29 minutes on Tuesday and gave you 19 Fandle points. Just piss poor. Ryan Anderson, this guy is a sneaky ninja. I said it on Sunday or Monday, I don't remember. He had a good first half, and then he ended up with like 20 Fando points, 16 actual points. He's a one-trick pony. He had the flu, whatever illness was going around, so he didn't even start last game. But he's 4.6K. He was like 6K around a month ago. So you're getting him at a huge discount, 230 over-under. If he starts and he's making his shots, he can give you 40 Fando points. He can help you take down a GPP. So I like him for tournaments. Then you got like Jamichael Green. You got Harrell. You got Nerlens Noel. And quite honestly, if Noel's going to start again, if you want to just plug him in your cash games, you probably can. I mean, is he going to give you 45 FanDuel points again? That I would not think. But I would think he'd give you 25. Gravy Juice Sullinger, you played him on Tuesday. He killed all of us. He started for Toronto but only played 12 minutes and gave you 4 freaking FanDuel points. And he looked fat as ever. All right, that's it for a power forward. Center, you got Cousins at 10.5K. Up against Cleveland. I feel like they just played Cleveland. Did I imagine that, or did that actually happen? Yeah, they did. So they played Cleveland about a week ago, a week and a half ago. He put up 48 Fando points. There's no one that can defend him on any team. And Tristan Thompson can't either. So he's fine. The problem is, do you have the money to play him in cash, or do you want to go kind of a more balanced lineup? It's hard to fit him in cash, but I think he's fine for any format if you can afford him. Whiteside, 9.2K. So Whiteside's price came up just because based on the matchup. Certainly not based on his production, because the last 5-6 games, he hasn't even given you 40 FanDuel points. He's given you 20, 30s. He's been bad. They don't get him the ball. You know, his actual scoring is way down. Even the blocks have been piss poor. He hasn't had a game of 3 blocks since December 20th. Now, he was injured for a decent portion of that, but still, that's unbelievable. How is that possible? Doesn't he average 3 blocks? I don't understand that. That's mind-boggling to me. 9.2K. Because it's Brooklyn, if you want to do it in a tournament, go ahead. But cash games, don't even think about it. Marc Gasol, 8.4K. It's fine. I don't think you need to do it. That's expensive. With that said, it's a safe play. He's going to find a way to give you 40 FanDuel points. I don't mind that. I actually don't mind it for any format, because I think if he puts up 45 FanDuel points, could that be enough to help you take down GPP? Because at his salary, you can still have a pretty balanced lineup. So maybe Al Horford, 7.3K. The upside just is not there for him. I got a bunch of tweets about him the last few days. You know, his rebounding is way down. That's basically because he's like a power forward now. He's out on the perimeter a ton. He doesn't attack the glass. He's shooting a lot of jumpers. His usage rate isn't even that good to begin with. Occasionally the assists have been good because he's a really skilled passer and he is on the perimeter a lot of the times. So, and you can run offense through him, but like the peripheral stats have not been great. And while he's out on the perimeter so much, it does limit the upside. I hear they're playing way up in pace. And so could he put up a 40, 50 FanDuel point night just because they get an extra 20 possessions? Maybe. And he's cheap. He's not going to kill your lineups. I think he's got a floor of like 30. So I think he's fine. And the matchup is ideal. Brook Lopez, 7.3K. Yeah, Whiteside's not a good defender. Whiteside's lazy, especially when he's not getting the ball. So Lopez has 45 FanDuel point upside. I wouldn't do it in cash, but tournaments, you can do it. Dwight Howard. Dwight is dirt cheap. He's 7K. He goes up against Robin Lopez. I had a decent amount of Dwight the last couple games, and he's given me 37 FanDuel points, 37 and 36 last two games. At his price, that's fine. I think he was in like the winning slam lineup a couple nights ago too. So he at that price, he's safe for all formats for me. In Chicago, they struggle to defend at the bigs. And Robin Lopez, talk about, Gibson and Robin Lopez, they're both so slow and unathletic that it just – you can get rebounds against them. It's just – they're so easy to attack. That's why I like Felicio. And I said full whatever. You guys heard me. I did not that sometimes that name, especially like 5 o'clock in the morning, you try saying that name, you can get in trouble. Let's just call him Christian. I think he's a good player. At least he's athletic for the Bulls. Mason Plumlee, he's just too expensive, man. 6.5K. Why am I gonna play 6.5K for Plum Dog? You know, when I can get Howard. I guess if you want to play Plumlee in tournaments, because it is against the Lakers. It's okay, but that's pricey. My boy Valachunas, probably not the best night to play him because you're going up against Marc Gasol. I like to avoid Gasol. Although I think Valanciunas will still end up close to 30 fandom points because the fact that they are going up against a legitimate center means that he'll get minutes. He'll get 30 minutes. And when he gets 30 minutes, he'll find a way to give you close to 30 fandom points. Steven Adams, 5.5K. He's okay for cash games. Greg Monroe, he's coming off, I think a really good game. He had 35 fandom points, but not a cash game guy, tournaments only. Philly does – I mean, Noel's a good defender, but normally without Embiid, they struggle to defend the center position. Then you got under 5K. You got Noel. You got Noah, Clint Capella. I tried to ride the Clint Capella train a couple nights ago, and he had 3 rebounds. That was great. Thanks, Brooke Lopez. Thanks, Jabari Parker. 3 rebounds. Thanks, Al Horford. I mean, why can't – I mean, centers don't rebound because they're all stuck on the freaking perimeter thinking they're point guards. Capella doesn't think he's a point guard. I don't know why. He just didn't want to rebound that night, I guess. But 4.8K, I might take a flyer on him. Tristan Thompson sitting down there, the most boring man in the world. Robin Lopez is down there. Hernan Gomez. Jeff Hornacek did say he's going to give Hernan Gomez more minutes. So you got 35 fandom points last game. He did say Noah's going to continue to start, but Hernan Gomez has earned more minutes. So to me, that means if Noah doesn't have it going, Hernan Gomez is going to get a lot of run. He's a fantasy point per minute guy. So Kylo Quinn might not play at all. Hernan Gomez, I don't mind if want to throw him in some tournaments. He could go nuts. And Dallas does without Bogut. They are a horrendous rebounding team. And that's probably about it for me for center. All right, that's it. That's the slate. That's the 10 games, man. This is going to be a wild, wild night. It should be a lot of fun. This whole entire week's been fun, creating lineups. You're able to test your skills. Let's see what you got on Wednesday. If you tweet at me, have any questions, at Daniel A. Green 1. If you want to get in chambers, it's easier to tweet at me than DM. There's a better chance I will see a tweet. Same as if you're asking a question regarding your lineup, it's a better chance I will see the tweet. The DMs, I just have too many. I can't get to them all a lot of times before lineup lock. Other than that, I tweet out the links to Chambers, FanDuel, usually around 5 p.m. Eastern, DraftKings typically around maybe 2 to 3 Eastern. And yeah, that's about it. All right. Hope you had a glorious Tuesday. Let us have even a more glorious Wednesday. Lots of money out there. Let us make sure that we get it. And I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Court is adjourned.